This is an ABC podcast. On ABC Radio Victoria, you're with Peter Somerville for the Victorian Country Hour.
Yes, hello and welcome to your Thursday afternoon Country Hour. Hope you've made it to this point in time relatively dry. In case you missed today's COVID press conference, I'll bring you the key details from that shortly. A few big changes there. But we're going to take a look at the weather and the rainfall on the program today, given the amount of rain some people have had in the past 24 hours. Totals of more than 125 millimetres in some parts of East Gippsland, as well as some damage in Western Victoria from heavy rain and storms there. Do let me know how much you've had, 0467 842 722. Also today, headaches in the supply chain, no doubt clear at your local supermarket. We'll hear from the boss of IGA Supermarkets about what's going on behind the scenes. But first this afternoon, let's start with the latest from the Bureau of Meteorology. We cross now to senior forecaster Chris Avia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Well, is the worst of that wild weather behind us yet, or is there more to come today?
Yeah, look, more to come. We had some pretty extensive areas of showers and thunderstorms yesterday, but often with the nature of these systems, it was quite hit and miss as well. So there was parts of the state that were essentially sunny and dry for a lot of tomorrow, albeit very humid. But as you mentioned, we had some significant rainfall totals as well. The most impressive and impactful storms were over the Ballarat area, where some places recorded in excess of 100 millimetres, a lot of that falling in a very short period of time. So we had 50 millimetres in half an hour in some locations near Ballarat. So that's where the most intense storms were. So we did see widespread areas of flash flooding, some hail and some pretty strong wind gusts as well. Over further east, we had widespread 50 to 100 millimetres of rain. So there's a number of flood warnings current for the far east of the state. It sort of continues a wet run they had to end the year out there. So currently a minor flood warning for the Snowy, Tambo and Nicholson rivers, and an initial moderate warning for the Mittamitta. So that's an area that we could see further river rise over the next couple of days. But essentially, looking at a continuation of this thunderstorm outbreak for today and tomorrow, we're currently seeing some pretty big thunderstorms moving south across the Murray River from New South Wales. So Yarrawonga and Albury Wodonga are starting to see some impacts from storms at the moment. But we are looking at that area intensifying and getting more broad as we head into the afternoon today. So essentially, anywhere in central Victoria and also the southwest district are likely to see thunderstorms in the vicinity today. But once again, likely to be fairly hit and miss. The most intense rainfall totals are likely to be fairly localised in nature. But there is the possibility of isolated falls of up to 100 millimetres under storms. But widespread totals are more likely to be around the 2 to 15 millimetre mark. If you happen to be sort of on the edge or just missing one of these storms, you're probably just going to get clipped by and see a few millimetres. And we're remaining largely dry through the west and northwest today. So, yeah, it is a bit uncertain. The best advice I can give is to keep an eye on the radar and you'll see where those storms are tracking. And just be aware that some of these could be pretty intense with damaging to destructive wind gusts are possible under long-lived thunderstorms. And also those intense high-end rainfall totals are once again possible today.
Chris, there's been a lot of rain in parts of East Gippsland as well. Is there more on the way for them, or are they out of the eye of things now?
No, likely to be a bit more through there. Most of the rain today is likely to be further to the north and over the sort of Great Divide. But as we head into tonight and into tomorrow, we're likely to see rain sort of return to Gippsland. And a lot of those falls along the Divide as well will be sort of falling in the upper catchments of already flood-affected rivers. So even if we're not seeing large totals accumulating over lower parts of Gippsland, with the rainfall further upstream, it is possible that we could see those river rises continue. So minor to moderate flood warnings are already current and likely to persist as we head into the end of the week and the weekend.
And how long until things clear up again?
Look, essentially Saturday is when we start to see a bit of clear air. The storm outbreak is going to continue tomorrow, essentially a repeat of what we're looking at today. So more widespread storms tomorrow, but the area will be more sort of the eastern half of the state as the system that's causing this slowly tracks further eastwards. And we stay largely dry over the Wimmera and Mallee tomorrow. But yeah, the eastern half of the state likely to see more showers and storms tomorrow. So just be aware of those and watch the radar and be aware of warnings and things as we head into tomorrow as well. But from Saturday onwards, we're into a bit of a different pattern. So a bit of a relief from those showers and storms for a bit. It will be relatively cool. See some of that more humid air flush out by the time we get to the weekend, but we will see some sort of low cloud, shower, drizzle type conditions in the southern half of the state over the weekend.
Okay, Chris, thanks for the update.
Cheers.
Chris Avia there, Senior Forecaster at the Bureau of Meteorology.
The Victorian Country Hour with Peter Somerville on ABC Radio Victoria.
Now, let's break away from the weather for a moment. There was a press conference a short time ago with the Victorian Health Minister, Martin Foley. He gave an update on the developing COVID situation in Victoria. I'll bring you a short summary of that now. Martin Foley acknowledged that the state is entering a new phase of the pandemic. From 11:59pm tonight, it will become mandatory to report a positive rapid antigen test to the health department through an online form or by phone. That's in response to the surging number of cases of the Omicron variant. Those who test positive on a rapid antigen test will be considered probable cases and must isolate immediately for 7 days and notify their contacts. The Victorian government is also reintroducing density limits. So from tonight, one person per 2 square metres will be allowed inside hospitality and entertainment venues. For more information on all of that, you can head to the ABC News website.
Nominations are now open for Farmer of the Year, with 10 categories spanning all ages and stages of life on the land. Let's recognise the hard work of our rural leaders, innovators and farming legends, and celebrate those in our rural sector who go above and beyond. You can enter yourself or someone you know at farmeroftheyear.com.au. Presented by ABC Rural and the Kinditta Group.
The Victorian Country Hour on ABC Radio Victoria.
Circling back to the weather now on the Country Hour this afternoon, do let me know how much rain you've had, and I'll get to those reports shortly. 0467 842 722 is the number. Western District farmers have spent the morning counting the costs of storm damage and hoping their unharvested crops haven't been too badly affected by hail. Cam Conboy is the General Manager at Gorst Rural in Lake Bolac. He spoke with Angus Furley about the storms.
Look, there was a sharp storm that came through here about sort of 5 or 6 o'clock last night. You know, between sort of 9 and 20 mils of rain and a short patch of hail from probably Westmere through Lake Bolac to Warrandoo with some pretty large hailstones.
And just how large?
Yeah, they're proverbial golf ball, I guess. It seems a cliche, but literally the photos that have been sent in, they were literally the size of golf balls. So, a bit of damage to some crops and, you know, some sheds and housing, you know, a bit of laser light on some shed roofs and some tiles on houses and a bit of crop damage around the place.
Yeah, so just on that crop damage, if unharvested crops, but obviously ripe crops, were hit by that hail, what would be the extent of the damage?
Yeah, look, hard to say, Angus. I mean, we're fortunate probably that it's, you know, we're maybe 80% through our harvest. So it's a little bit of storm lotto, unfortunately, that, you know, if there were some crops left, they might have got damaged, but it could have been far worse if it had happened sort of 2 weeks ago. So at this stage, not a heap. There's a lot of people starting to wind up. And in some of the areas the hail fell, there wasn't. But, you know, there are going to be paddocks affected, unfortunately.
And I suppose for those that are affected, hoping that they're insured.
Yes, no, it's one of those things that when the great big white header comes through, you hope you have got your insurance and get it covered. But I guess the assessors will be out and working through it. And hopefully, fingers crossed, people come out okay.
And Cam, I guess while I'm talking to you, what's the season been like in your part of the world?
Yeah, look, we've been pretty lucky, Angus. It's been one of those seasons where we seem to mostly have had rain in the right places and sunshine in the right places. So that doesn't happen very often. You know, there are patches that have got really wet from some thunderstorms carrying over, particularly probably to the east and the south, but mostly pretty good. And, very mild spring, which just allows crops to fill out beautifully. So, we're pretty lucky, I guess.
And I know it's hard to sort of talk in general terms, but could you give me a sense of some of the yield reports you're hearing across, I suppose, wheat, barley, canola?
Yeah, look, it's pretty unheard of, and you know, guys are still doing tallying up after, you know, some pretty big harvest days. But Canola maybe somewhere in the vicinity of 3 to 5 tonnes to the hectare. Sort of barley from sort of 5 to 10 tonnes to the hectare, so that's done reasonably well. Wheat's a bit of a mixed bag. There's sort of, you know, anything from 3 tonne where either it was a bit wet or frost, 3 to 10 tonne to the hectare on some of the red wheats. Unfortunately, some of our wheat has picked up a frost during flowering in late October, early November. Not as bad as 2017, where there was a total wipeout with stem frost, but we have had some flowering frost damage that's knocked some yields around. But generally, hopefully, most guys will come out okay.
And you said, Cam, harvest, I guess, mostly wrapped up, but there'll be some people with still, I suppose, weather-dependent, but maybe a couple of weeks to run?
Yeah, look, it's always, everyone has their own speed and scales, I guess. But, if I had to pick a number, maybe about 80% through. So that'll be some guys that are finished and some guys that are, you're not even halfway through. So, hopefully we get these sort of fronts through, get another week or two of some fine weather, and then it'll be wrapped up for, the 2021 season.
That was Cam Conboy, General Manager at Gorst Rural in Lake Bolac, speaking with Angus Verley. 9 minutes to 1 on your Country Hour. We're going to stay in that part of the world because there was also storm damage near Ballarat, where more than 100 millimetres of rain fell in less than an hour. Andrew Crouch has a farm near Addington, northwest of Ballarat. He says the storm caught him off guard.
We've just moved down here into Victoria, been up in Cairns for quite a few years. They went through a lot of cyclones, and the intensity of the rain would be something similar to a smaller cyclone, raining horizontal into all the hay sheds, unfortunately. But, a lot of rain in a very, very short space of time. It's great for fill our water tanks up, but we've got a small area that's called a soak or a spring, natural spring, and it flooded that whole spring from basically one side of the fence to the other.
So, Andrew, when you moved down from Cairns, you probably thought you'd be leaving that sort of weather behind.
Never underestimate the weather, I suppose, but something like this, speaking to people in the area and our next-door neighbours, they've been there for 31 years and they've never seen anything as severe as this and the amount of water that came down. So, everyone was affected. There was a couple of people up the back, I believe, have water through their house. They're in a double-storey brick place, and they've got obviously water through the bottom floor of it. So it was pretty intense for a short space of time, and the storm looking on the bomb site just didn't seem to want to move. It just sat there and grew in intensity for a while, lots of reds and blacks. So it took a long time for it to go, and then we lost power from probably 3 o'clock, I think, 3:30. Right, so I'm not sure when it came on because we went to bed, but it was well after midnight, I think, before it came back on.
And, Andrew, how much rain do you reckon you had and over what period did that fall?
I'm not sure. I'd have to find out. I would have thought we probably would have had well over four to five inches. The first 4 inches probably in the best part of 20 minutes to half an hour, maybe 40 minutes at the most.
That's incredible.
Yeah, no, it was a little bit of hail initially when we first started, just a small hail, no big hail, and then it just the rain just started and it just flooded everything. We had paddocks were cut in half. The sheep couldn't get from one side of the paddock to the other. Even though it was pretty bad.
So I assume it must have done some damage and left a mess.
In the soak, we've lost 4 fences. And a couple of pumps that were on the side of dams, I wouldn't have thought they would fill, but they've taken over the pump. Pump was underwater. And we've got 4 fences and a small little bridge that we'll have to do some repairs on that as well. It's washed away, but we've got one log came down, which I think's done most of the damage, and it would be probably 10 foot long and about 4 or 5 foot round. So it's quite a big stump that's come down. It's come down probably in the creek, probably the best part of a couple of hundred yards, and taken the fence out.
Yeah, so that must have been an enormously powerful flow of water to shift such a massive lump of timber then.
Yes, it just looked like a bunch of rapids in full flow. So it just took us by surprise how rapidly it grew and how ferocious it was.
So where to from here, Andrew? I suppose you've got that fencing to reinstate and a fair bit of clean-up.
Lots of clean-up, lots of phone calls to get some adult boys down here to help us out. And they'll come up on the weekend, or tomorrow afternoon actually, and we'll start cleaning and try and get the fences. Most of the fences that have come down are in the soak, so I've only got one that really I need fixed straight away for cattle. And then we need to clean some of the fences up, the electric fences in amongst 3-4 foot of debris that's sitting up against the fences.
And your cattle are okay?
All good. We're lucky that the paddock they came into was beside the house, and there's hay in there, and they had a really good chomp on the hay in the shed, so they've made a bit of a mess in there. So it'll be another task to get in and clean up there and see what's left.
Andrew Crouch from Addington, northeast of Ballarat. Meanwhile, in East Gippsland, also quite a bit of rain there. Steve Pearman has a property at Cassilis, which is between Swifts Creek and Omeo. He reckons there's been more than 140 millimetres at his place.
The rain didn't come in a tremendous rush. It was steady overnight and you could hear the creek rising. This morning I've done an inspection. There's extensive damage from the flood water. There are mountains of debris against fences. Large trees have come down. I would say where the conjunction of further creeks are downstream, there's going to be extensive damage to low-lying property.
That doesn't sound like a good situation, but this isn't the first flood that you've had recently. Is it worse than the others?
Well, the worst flood we've ever had was the 98 one in 100 year. It's not up to that level, but it's getting close.
So how long are you going to have to spend cleaning up at your place?
I'd say a minimum of 3 months.
There's some roads cut in your part of the world too.
Yeah, my neighbour tells me further up the road, a small culvert bridge is blocked with debris and the water's flowing over the road. Further down, I can't assess it yet.
And you're stuck in?
Yeah, essentially, until I get the chainsaw out. Yes, I am, yeah.
Not going anywhere. Steve Pearman there from Cassilis. You are listening to the Victorian Country Hour. Peter Somerville with you this afternoon. Getting to a few of your rainfall totals. Dean at Mount Beauty reports 78 millimetres, which is more than his total for December. And a couple on the text line as well. Kevin in Myrtleford, still getting some showers, 43 millimetres there. And another report here from St Arnett, 12 kilometres east of St Arnett at Cooree, I hope I've said that right, 160 millimetres there, would you believe that? And a photo as well of some pretty impressive hail. This is a very strangely shaped hailstone. If you can look at your hand, this covers the this person's fingers. So quite a big hailstone there. You often liken them to golf balls. I'd say that that might be a step up.
On ABC Radio Victoria, this is the Victorian Country Hour.
Let's move away from the weather. COVID's effect on Australia's food distribution networks has become obvious in recent days, with supermarket shelves looking more bare than usual this new year. 7-day isolation requirements for close contacts of COVID-positive people has wiped out large portions of the workforce across the supply chain, leading to delivery delays and food shortages. CEO of Ritchie's IGA, Fred Harrison, says the cracks in the supply chain began showing in early December.
It's generally across the board. It's no one specific category. There's just a shortage of stock. There's deliveries that are anywhere from 2 days to a week late, and most of it is coming out of the COVID issues. Although in saying that, much of it is also there's problems with ingredients. Some ingredients are meant to come from overseas, haven't been arriving here in Australia. There's pallet issues. There's a shortage of wood. We can't put goods onto pallets to deliver to warehouses and stores. So look, COVID is the main issue, and it's basically the fact that so much of the workforce has been isolating, invariably being caught up in close contact. And that's what's causing the biggest issue at the moment. People who are fit and healthy because maybe their wife or their partner or their daughter or son have come down with COVID, even though they haven't been detected with COVID, they're unable to work for 7 days. And it's taking a lot of people out of the network, which is in turn meaning everything's running considerably behind.
So quite often with supply chains, it's a bit of a reactionary process. So something will happen, you know, a week or two before we start noticing in the supermarkets. How long has this actually been going on for?
Look, it really started to ramp up in early December. Once coronavirus cases started to kick in and Omicron was showing higher numbers and therefore infecting more people, we did see it in probably mid-December, and it's really exacerbated over the Christmas New Year period, which makes a little bit of sense. We're seeing the cases spiral heavily now, and that's meaning more and more people are getting impacted one way or another, which is, again, just taking people out of the workforce. I should also add there's been an enormous amount of absenteeism. I know in talking to a lot of our suppliers, people are just not turning up for work. Perhaps that's a little bit of fear. Perhaps people are just, you know, saying, well, it's Christmas, it's New Year, bugger it, I want to have a bit of a break. But there's a lot of absenteeism as well, and that's causing major issues with numbers in workplaces as well.
You mentioned fear there, Fred. Do you think that people are also starting to panic buy again now and sort of go out for a big shop, make sure they get everything they need so they're not going to be exposed to coronavirus when they go shopping?
Good question. I wouldn't say it's panic buying. I think people are buying a little bit more. And what we saw through the last 2 years was that, yes, there were periods where there was panic buying and people might have bought a week or two's worth and stored lots of baked beans and flour and rice in pantries. We're not seeing it to that level, but people are perhaps buying a few more days. So we found that the average customer will often shop 3 to 4 times a week. Through COVID, they reduced that by at least one shop per week and did stock up a little bit more on each of their shops. So we're not seeing people coming in and wiping out shelves, but we are seeing people just put that little bit more in their trolley and basket.
Coles and Woolworths have been discussing product limits on certain items. Yesterday, Coles announced that you can only buy 2 packets of meat, for example. Is Rich's IGA considering any product limits?
No, look, at this stage, Richie's are perfectly good for meat. We're a little bit luckier. We deal with a lot more manufacturers, a lot more abattoirs. So we have a broader spectrum of suppliers to liaise with, and we have a very good meat buyer who's been in the game for 35 years. And this is where a lot of those close contacts become important, the relationships you build over the year. So we really do have a lot of meat in our stores.
CEO of Richie's IGA, Fred Harrison, speaking there with Jane McNaughton. Let's head to the markets now. First this afternoon to Bairnsdale with Brendan Fletcher.
G'day, Pete. There were 61 head penned for the first sale of 2022, a reduction of 260 head from the final sale of 2021. There was a pen of quality yearling heifers, with the remainder being cows and a few bulls. The cows sold 20 to 25 cents cheaper than the final sale of last year, while the bulls and heifers improved a little. The pen of yearling heifers made $4.41, plain condition dairy cows $2.10 to $3.00, heavy beef cows $3.35 to $3.55, heavy bulls $3.10 to $3.50. This is Brendan Fletcher reporting for MLA.
And while we're on Bairnsdale, I can tell you that their store sale scheduled for tomorrow has been postponed until next Friday. We head to Wagga now with Leanne Dax.
Good afternoon. Wagga agents recorded one of their smallest offerings of only 6,500 lambs and 1,800 sheep. Quality was mixed and competition patchy due to very few companies operating on account of COVID-19. Trade lambs were $15 to $30 cheaper. Medium trades, $169 to $186. 22 to 24 kilo, $184 to $212. 24 to 26 kilo, $198 to $213. Over 26 kilos, $210 to $250, with a single pen over 30 kilos, topping at $300. Restocking lambs, $76 to $175. Heavy merino mutton, $148 to $220. And trade sheep, $102 to $140. I'm Leanne Dax for MLA.
Thanks, Leanne. And lastly, to Hamilton Sheep with Chris Agnew.
Thanks, Peter. At Hamilton Agents Yarded, 5,937 sheep, where the quality was very good with most weights and grades available, with the exception of the very good weathers. Not all of the regular buyers were in attendance, and not all fully active, in a market that was $5 to $10 per head softer than the previous sale prior to Christmas. Heavy crossbred ewes made to 195, with a well-covered merino ewes making between $146 and $160. The average run of merino mutton to make between 500 and 550 cents per kilogram carcass weight. Merino rams, terminal sired rams, made to $108. At Hamilton, this is Chris Agnew reporting for MLA.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Agnew there, rounding out this afternoon's Country Hour. Don't forget abc.net.au for your latest rural news. Right now, we'll return you to the SCG, where Australia are 3 for 209.